Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Now today we're going to talk to you a subject about Paul's example. All right, so, Paul's example is something you don't hear very often, but you're going to hear it today. Now, when the Lord called me into the ministry, is a thing that every preacher has to decide what he's going to do. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, am I supposed to quit my job and just go on preaching and let the people I preach support me financially? Or am I supposed to continue with my job and preach? Or what am I supposed to do, Lord? So anyway, I got on my knees and I asked the Lord about this. And I told my wife, I said, Claire, I said, I might have to quit my job. She said, well, okay, whatever the Lord leads. So anyway, as I was reading my Bible, I came across Acts chapter 18. So we're going to start here in Acts chapter 18. Notice in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So what we have here is we have scripture that tells us that the Apostle Paul was the same craft as Aquila and Priscilla. In other words, they had the same occupation. They were tent makers. So what we have here is scripture telling us that Paul was a tent maker. You know, and I read this and I went back into the scriptures and I looked at the number of years and I'm going, Lord, I said, Paul is into his ministry 20 years or so. I said, why is he building tents? Why isn't he being supported by the people that he teaches? Well, it's not that Paul had to be supported by the people, or it's not that he had to work, okay, but he has an example for us to follow. Now watch this. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now what I'm about to show you is something that you're not going to hear from most preachers, okay? Because most preachers, they take a paycheck for or preaching or teaching or whatever you want to call it, okay? And so they're not going to teach you Paul's example. Now watch. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Or not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that examine me is this, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Or I only, and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Excuse me. So watch in verse 6, it says, or I only, and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? All right? So what we have here is we have Scripture saying, Paul saying, look, me and Barnabas, we don't have to work. In other words, Paul didn't have to be a tent maker. Watch, let me show you. Let's go on. Verse 7. Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Now, over here in the United States, all right, we have a thing called Uncle Sam. That's our government, all right? Now, when you join the army or you get drafted into the army and you got to go to war or something like that, who pays your way? Now, Uncle Sam does. In other words, the United States government will pay your way in the Army, all right? You don't have to buy your own shoes. You don't have to buy your own gun, all right? The government takes care of all that stuff. Notice in verse 7 again, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Now, whoever you're warring for, all right, they're going to supply everything you need to go to war. Now, watch. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Now, surely you know, most of you out there might have planted a garden or something. Well, who's going to be the first one to take of the fruit, okay? You are. If you plant a vineyard, you're going to be able to one of the first ones to take the fruit thereof. Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Same thing here. You taking care of a herd of sheep or whatever? If you're taking care of the flock, the Bible says here, and he who eateth not of the milk of the flock. You should be the first one to be able to get the milk of the flock. Verse 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Yes, he does. Now, if you have an ox and you're plowing your field, God says you do not put a muzzle on that ox's mouth. You let him eat anything he wants to eat while he's plowing that field. He's the one doing all the work. You let him eat whatever he wants. You do not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Now watch verse 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt it is written, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? So what we have here is, we have a power in the gospel I'm about to show you, to where a preacher, if he sows unto you spiritual things, in other words, he teaches and gives you spiritual things, it's no big deal for him to reap your carnal things. This is the power in the gospel. Now watch. Verse 11 again. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather? Now watch. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Okay? Now, there's three reasons that the Apostle Paul gives where he did not use this power in the gospel. Could the Apostle Paul stop building tents if he wanted to? Sure, he could have. Okay? He says, don't I have power to forbear working in verse 6? All right? But he says, there's a power in the gospel. If somebody preached the gospel, they should live with the gospel. But he says he did not use this power. All right? Now watch. The first reason being here, once again in verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So what happens is, if you have a person out there, and he's partaking of the power in the gospel, now he's taking the carnal things, in other words, he's taking money or whatever from the people he's teaching, okay? There's a good possibility he could hinder the gospel of Christ, okay? So Paul says he didn't use that power because he did not want to hinder the gospel of Christ. That's number one. Now watch, let's go on. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now watch verse 15 very closely. Put your eyes here on the screen, okay, right up here. Now watch. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done to me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. So what we have here is Paul says, I did not use this power, okay? Even though the Lord ordained that this power is there, that someone can preach, okay, and they can obtain carnal things from the people they preach, all right, Paul says he did not use this power. Let's go on. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Okay? So what we have here is he has scripture, Paul telling us that he may make the gospel of Christ without charge. In other words, he didn't charge anybody, all right, to preach to them the gospel. Okay? He didn't take any money from anybody or anything like that. He says that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So this is the second reason why Paul had a job, okay? He had an occupation. He was a tent maker, all right? But yet he was the apostle of the Gentiles. So what we have here is, he says, for this reason here, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Now, I'm sure you've seen some of these TV preachers that ride around in limousines and have big old $15 million houses and all this kind of stuff. Do you think they're abusing their power in the gospel? Well, sure they are. Okay? This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And you know what's funny? The people they're teaching, they're saying, oh, these people are so blessed. Look look that the Lord has given them. He's got a garage full of limousines. He's got this big old house. He's got him a jet. Oh, the Lord has blessed him, all right? Well, he's not following Paul's example, all right? Now watch. He says, I abuse not my power in the gospel. So what happens here is, if you use that power, there's a good chance you could abuse that power in the gospel, okay? So Paul did not use that power because he didn't want to abuse it and he didn't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. Now watch. Let's go on to number three. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to notice in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, it says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? So Paul's saying here, I preached the gospel of God unto you. I preached it freely. I didn't take anything of you. All right, now watch this. He says in verse 8, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, did the Apostle Paul ever take wages from a church? Yes, he did. It says so right here. What did he call it? He called it robbing the churches. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. All right? And the thing is, he didn't take the wages for himself. He took it for the Corinthians. All right? So what he says here, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. So we have the Apostle Paul telling us here that that taking wages of the church, he called it robbing the churches. All right? Now let's go on. Verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things have I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Now, did the Apostle Paul ever get helped out by anybody? Sure, he did several times, okay? But the thing is, the man held a job, all right? He did not preach the gospel and make it for charge, all right? He preached the gospel of God freely. Let's go on. Now, watch. Now, there's some people out there. They see this power in the gospel, okay? And they go, wow, that's pretty neat. All I got to do is get up in front of a bunch of people, speak and say, Jesus this, Jesus that, God this, God that, and they'll write me out a paycheck. Sounds like a pretty good deal, all right? And a lot of people, they see that and they go for it. All right, now watch. Let me show you. Notice in verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So what we have here, Paul tells us, he says, what I do this, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion. All right? In other words, there's some people that desire the occasion. They desire the position. They desire that occupation or job or whatever of using the power in the gospel. Okay? They like saying things for money. Okay? Now watch. But Paul said, this is the third reason, all right, he didn't use the power in the gospel. He says that I may cut off them that do so. You know what he could do? Paul could look at those guys and say, you're doing it for the money. And you know what? Them people, they can't point their finger back and say, well, you're doing it for the money too, Paul. Paul says, no, I'm not. Okay? I got a job. I build tents for a living. Okay? So what we have here, Paul could cut off them that desire the occasion. All right, now watch, let's go on. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now look, I've seen a lot of people on TV and in churches and stuff like that. You know, if you put on a $300 or $400 or $500 suit and a several hundred dollar pair of shoes and you hold a Bible under your arm like this, you know what? You can look like a preacher. All right? And you know what? That doesn't mean you're a preacher. Doesn't mean you're of God either. Now, you got to watch out for these people. He says here, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, so what we have here is we have Scripture, the Apostle Paul telling us to watch out for these people, okay? He calls them false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He says these people transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, okay? And they look like, oh, that's a minister of righteousness, okay? They talk about Jesus Christ, they talk about God, you know, and they smile a lot, you know, and they're real soft-spoken and all that kind of stuff, you know? Well, watch out for them, okay? That does not mean they're of God, okay? Just because somebody carries a Bible under their arm and says, hallelujah, praise the Lord, does not mean they're saved, okay? Does not mean they're of God, does not mean they're teaching God's holy word, all right? Got to watch out for them. So what we have is three reasons here. Now watch, let's go on. All right, now I want you to go to, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, I want you to notice in chapter 3, let's go to verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6, it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. He says here, not because I haven't got the power. Now, could Paul use that power in the gospel? Sure he could, but he didn't. He says, why? Because this is an example for you to follow. You know what? You will not hear preachers preach this. Why? Because they're not following Paul's example. All right? They don't even want you to know about it. All right, and it's in the Scriptures in black and white. You couldn't miss it if you tried. And if they read Corinthians and the book of Acts and they read Thessalonians, they know about Paul's example. But they refuse to teach it to you. Why? Because they want the income to keep on coming in. That's why. You know, if he was to preach to you and preacher take a paycheck and he tells you about Paul's example where you should follow Paul's example, you should hold down an occupation. You know what they're going to ask that preacher? Well, how come you ain't doing it? Preacher goes, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have taught this. I put myself in jeopardy. Now they want to cut off my paycheck. They want me to follow Paul's example. I ain't doing that. This is too easy of a job. You know, that's the way they are. Okay? You're not going to hear it from someone that draws a paycheck in the ministry. Okay? But you will hear it from people that know Paul's example, follow Paul's example, and teach Paul's example. All right? Now watch, let's go on. You know, well, let's get finished with this first, okay? Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. This is what the Bible says. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. All right? Now watch. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be with quietness they work, and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. All right? Now, I want you to understand, you get some of these TV preachers, and they say, oh, if you don't give money, this ministry's going to fall, and all this kind of stuff. You know that? You know why? Because their ministry is based upon money. All right? But the Lord's ministry is not based upon money. Now, I want to show you something, because these people are lying to you, and they're trying to pull one over on you. Let's go to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 3, notice in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John, went to go into the temple, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So what we have here so far, all right, we got a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb, and he was sat down at the gate, and he begged for money, he begged for alms, okay? That's what he needed, all right? He couldn't work. His legs would give out on him. You know, he didn't have no good legs on him. So Peter and John came up there, and he looked upon him, and, you know, he expected some alms from him. Now watch what happens. Verse 5 again. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now watch verse 6. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now the point I want to get here is, in verse 6, all right, Peter said, Silver and gold have I none. Now wait a minute. If Peter didn't have silver and gold, how could he do the ministry? That's what these preachers are claiming on TV. Okay? They say this ministry will fall without your offerings. All right? Peter says here, Silver and gold have I none. You don't need silver and gold and money to do the ministry work. If he did, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead and before he ascended up into heaven, he'd have said, Peter, look, here's this bag of gold. You're going to need this gold, okay? Because it costs money for the ministry. You're going to need this. John, here's your bag of gold. James, here's your bag of gold. And he would have went through all the apostles handing out gold because he's going to say, look, this is a requirement. You got to have this in order to do the ministry, all right? But there was no such thing done, no such thing said. He never told Peter, you better go out and find some money to do the ministry, okay? He didn't tell him that. Why? The ministry doesn't require money. It requires teaching and preaching. That's what it requires, okay? But these preachers out there, they could care less about that. They want your money, all right? That's all they want. And they'll teach you lies in order to get it. They'll tell you that you're supposed to give 10% today. They'll go back into the Old Testament scriptures under the law, all right? And they'll teach you, oh, you need to tithe today, or you're robbing God. Now watch, people. We are under grace today. We are not under the law. Now watch. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, notice in verse 14, it says, For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. All right, question. Are we under the law? No, we're not. We're under grace, okay? But what they'll do, they'll go back into the Old Testament under the law, and they'll take teachings out of the law that was given to Israel and try to apply it to the Gentiles today so they can take the money out of your pocket and put it in theirs. Now watch. Go to Malachi. In Malachi, go to Matthew and hang a left, one book. All right, Malachi. All right, Malachi chapter 3. Now, this is a very, very popular verse they use, all right, to try to get your money. All right, now watch this. Malachi chapter 3, notice in verse 8. It says here, Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And so what they'll tell you is, if you don't give your tithe to God, if you don't give your 10% to God, okay, they'll say, you're robbing God. That's a big fat lie, people. Okay? This law, the tithing law, was given to the nation of Israel, all right, that they were to give 10% of whatever they had unto the tribe of Levi, because Levi had no inheritance. That was their inheritance. Okay? And that was what the tithing law was all about. Okay? But what they'll do, they'll take this out of the law that was given to Israel and say, oh, we'll apply this to the Gentiles during grace. And we'll tell them that if they don't tithe, they're robbing God. So what does it make the people do? Makes the people feel guilty. Oh, I don't want to rob God. Well, let me get my checkbook out and write out a check. Now, is there anything wrong giving to the ministry? No, nothing wrong with that at all, okay? But begging for the money is wrong, all right? Because they're lying to you and trying to get the money out of your pocket and put it into theirs, okay? Watch out for these people. They're called gainsayers, all right? Now watch. Go to the book of Titus. All right, let's go to the book of Titus. All right. Now, Titus chapter 1, notice in verse 7. Titus chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre." Filthy lucre, by the way, is money. Okay? Verse 8, "But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers." Now, you see that word gainsayers? You know what a gainsayer is? It's someone that says things for gain, all right? They're making gain, all right? As the Bible says, watch out for them. They're gainsayers. It says, verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." For money's sake, people, that's why they're doing it. Okay? Filthy lucre. All right? The Bible calls them gainsayers. Now, is there preachers out there that take money and still good preachers? Yeah, there's got some that don't follow Paul's example. All right? They should know about it. All right? I'm not saying they do. All right? There's some denominations out there, they pretty much require for a preacher to not work, but just be what they call a full-time preacher. All right? You know, by the way, that reminds me. I was at a Bible camp one time, and I sat down to this lady, you know, and we started discussing some things, you know, and I told her I was a preacher, you know, and somehow it ended up talking about occupations. I said, "Yeah, I got an occupation, you know." I said, "I work on cars for a living." And she goes, "Oh, you must be a part-time preacher." And so I just kept my mouth shut, but after she left, I thought about it. I said, "Lord," I said, "if I'm a part-time preacher and I'm trying to follow Paul's example because he had a job, he had an occupation, all right, does that make the Apostle Paul a part-time apostle?" Well, think about it, people. Do you think the Apostle Paul was a part-time apostle because he had a job, because he built tents for a living? Does that make him part-time, all right? People, the Apostle Paul runs circles around anybody alive, okay? Now, the Apostle Paul was not a part-time preacher, all right? And any preacher out there that holds down a job because he's trying to follow Paul's example, all right, that doesn't make him a part-time preacher either, all right? Being in the ministry is not a 9-to-5, people. Being in the ministry is a lifestyle. And you know how you leave the ministry? You die from it. All right. Sure, there's some denominations out there. Oh, they have retirement plans, you know, and all this kind of stuff. When a preacher gets so old, they retire him. And it's like, it doesn't make sense, really. Oh, I'm a preacher, but I'm retired. So I don't have to win souls to Christ anymore. So I don't have to teach people about the Word of God. I'm retired. Does that make sense to you? It don't make sense to me at all, okay? You die from the ministry, just like all the ministers and preachers in the Bible, okay? When they died, they were out of the ministry, okay? That's it. You don't retire from the ministry, all right? Some people treat the ministry like a job, okay? Like a 9-to-5 or something like that. That's silly, people. That's not how it goes. Now watch. Let me show you something. Now, I want you to go to the book of Acts. All right, in the book of Acts, let's go to Acts chapter 20. All right, the Apostle Paul is talking, Acts chapter 20. I want you to notice in verse 33. Paul says, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." All right. In fact, let's read verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive." Okay? Let me tell you something, people. The Apostle Paul, his hands ministered to his necessities. Okay? He worked. He worked his way through the ministry. Okay? He didn't charge people. didn't have to take money for preaching the gospel. He had a job. He was a tent maker. All right. He coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. But there's preachers out there today. They want everything you got, people. And I've seen them try to connive widows out of their inheritance money that they give the grandkids and stuff like that. Just terrible stuff, okay? And it's just terrible. It's really bad, okay? You watch TV, and my wife doesn't let me watch preachers on TV anymore. You know why? Because I start arguing with them and the silly, stupid things they're doing, begging for money and stuff. All right? It's aggravating. It really is. Now, let's go on. All right? Tell you what. Let's go back to Titus. All right? Titus. All right? Notice in Titus chapter 1, verse 9 again. Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Now, these people, these gainsayers, they're covetous, okay? And they'll lie to you to get your money from you, all right? And the Bible says to watch out for them. He says in verse 11, for whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now, a lot of these people, they don't even preach the gospel. Okay? I've gone to some of these churches, and I've seen it to where they have one or two scriptures they cover, all right, and then they'll tell you a sad story and try to get you to cry, and then they'll have an altar call or something like that. I've seen people also where you go to some of these charismatic churches, all right, and they'll get you to sing for 45 minutes. I'm talking about get you really riled up. You know, all the hallelujahs, you know, all the amens, all the praise the Lords, and get you really moving, get you really going, and all that kind of stuff. And then what do? They pass the plate. They pass the plate while you're happy. Okay? Why? Because you'll give more. All right? Look, people, these people are something else. I just don't know what to say about them. All right? They're gainsayers, and you got to watch out for them because they don't even teach you right. They will not teach you Paul's example, and they won't even teach the gospel right. All right? They won't even tell you that your salvation is a free gift. They won't even tell you that your works are not involved in your salvation. Now watch. Let's go to Romans. All right? Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, all right, I want you to know in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go on to let's go to verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that which had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, but much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and in the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, so what we have here, and we could go on some more, it talks about the free gift of salvation. They won't teach you that salvation's a free gift. All right. I've heard them say, for $5, I can save your soul and all that kind of malarkey. All right. Have you ever got something in the mail like a prayer cloth? Okay. Or they give you some kind of little thing and say, hold this up to the TV when we have our program on TV and I'll pray for you. All right. And how about getting the little bitty things of oil? That's always a good one. The anointing oil, they call it. Okay. And they'll sell you this. Okay. And, you know, it's amazing. They give you little free samples in the mail so they could get something from bigger from you later on. All right. And they always tell you, like, for instance, there's the gainsayers out there. They try to preach that gain is godliness. All right. Watch what the Bible says about these guys. Now watch. Go to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, um, Notice in verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice in verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, wherewith cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself." All right? Now, wait a minute. These people that preach gain is godliness, all right? You know, these people out there, oh, God will bless you. You know, you need a car, pray for Cadillac. You know, pray for Mercedes. You know, God will bless you. And it's godliness. It's good to have gain. Gain is godliness, okay? Oh, you need a place to live? Get out that apartment. Get you a big old nice house and all that kind of stuff. Pray for this. Pray for that, you know. God will bless you. Send your money in, all this kind of stuff, you know, and God will bless you. You know the story. You've seen them too many times on TV, okay? Says here, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. All right? My Bible tells me they have a corrupt mind. Why? Because they have covetousness. All right? They want your stuff. All right? Now watch. And destitute of the truth. What does that mean? Destitute of the truth? It means they don't know the truth. Okay? Now watch. Let's stop right here. All right? Stop right here. And we in 1 Timothy, I'm going to back up to chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now watch what some of these people do. 1 Timothy chapter 4, notice in verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Okay? There's people out there say, oh, you can't eat that. That's an unclean animal. All right? You can't eat that pork. You can't eat that shrimp. All right? You can't eat that catfish. It ain't got no scales and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says here, you can eat anything you want if you believe and know the truth. All right? We're talking about people that believe and know the truth, y'all. All right? People out there that are preaching that gain is godliness. Let's go back to chapter 6. Chapter 6, notice in verse 5. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." Watch verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." All right? Now, you ever heard that old saying, you can't take it with you? All right? That's scriptural. All right? Verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." All right? People, any of that materialistic stuff you've got, what can you carry out with you? You know, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when the judgment day comes, all that materialistic stuff you have is going to be meaningless to you. It ain't going to mean a hill of beans. You know, all those fine cars and houses and all that money in the bank and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be meaningless. You'll be standing before the judgment seat of Christ and you'll just be shivering and shaking. You'll be so afraid. All right? And all that money, all them cars and all that kind of stuff is not going to help you. All right? Now watch. Verse 7 again, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Food and raiment. Raiment is clothing, all right? You need food and you need clothing, all right? So that's your needs, people, food and clothing. He says if you have food and clothing, you should be content. You know, I take this and I see this, and the Lord has blessed us. We have a refrigerator. We have a car. All these to me are blessings. You know why? Because I see that food and clothing, all right, are my needs. Anything else is a blessing. There's some people out there say, oh, no, you got to have a car. That's a need. Says who? You got to have a refrigerator. That's a need. Says who? Okay? There's people alive today that do not have cars and refrigerators and stuff like that. All right? And they're living. All right? They're getting by. They got to have food and clothing now. You got to have food to keep you alive and clothing to keep you warm. All right? So what we have here is we've got people that have corrupt minds. They're not preaching the truth. They're not preaching that salvation is a free gift. Okay? But yet they're telling you out there, oh, you need to make gain, you know, because God will bless you if you bless this ministry and all this kind of rotten stuff, all right? And that's the way they are. And the Bible says they are destitute of the truth. The Bible says withdraw yourself from them. But you know what? People are not withdrawing themselves from them. You know what they're doing? They're flocking to them by the thousands. You know why? Because these people want to make gain. They're covetous too. All right? So they say, well, if we hang around with this guy, look how the Lord blessed him. He's got millions and millions and millions of dollars. All right? We hang around with him, maybe we'll get blessed too. You know? Hey, go for it. That's all I can say. Go for it, people. All right, now watch. Let's back up. All right? Now, in 2 Timothy, all right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now watch verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. All right? Now, people, that's what it's all about today. All right? People are turning their ears away from the truth. All right? And they want to hear the fables. All right? They want to hear about this, hear about that, hear these little stories here, hear the little story there. All right? And they want to hear about making gain. All right? And they love to see the preachers making gain, you know. They want everybody making gain. That's what they're doing, all right? That's not what the ministry is about, people. The ministry is about winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. The ministry is about the perfecting of the saints, okay? Now watch. Let's go to Ephesians. Now, our main goal is to win souls to Christ. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, all right? Now, I want you to notice in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. It says, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's the when God gives an evangelist, pastor, or teacher, all right, that's what it's for. It's for the perfecting of the saints. The saints need to be perfected, all right? But you got people out there teaching about making gain as godliness. They're not going to teach you Paul's example. They're not going to teach you where Paul had a job. He did not take anything from the ministry. All right. In fact, they're doing exactly opposite, and they made themselves a gainsayer. Paul says to watch out for those gainsayers. Stay away from them. Withdraw yourself from them. Don't go near them. Okay? But yet, the people have itching ears, and all they want to do is hear the fables and stuff. It's getting bad, people. It really is. Now, I realize you've probably never heard this before, all right, about Paul's example. You've probably heard people preaching, and I've got some preachers that they don't like me, okay? You know why? Because I follow Paul's example, and they don't, all right? They don't want me going to preach at their church. You know why? Jerry might preach about Paul's example. Then I'll be up a creek, all right? So I don't get to preach in too many other churches very often, all right? Now, but what we have here is some of them say, you know what you need to do? You need to quit your job and walk by faith. And I said, do what? Quit my job and walk by faith. Question, did Paul walk by faith? Isn't that what it says in Corinthians? Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. And if Paul walked by faith and he had a job, does having a job mean you don't walk by faith? Think about it, people. All right? They'll come up with all kind of crazy answers, all right? reasons why they take money from the ministry and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, that's between you and the Lord. It ain't got nothing to do with me, all right? The thing is, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all right, we will be rewarded according to our works, okay? We'll be rewarded accordingly. You do things the way you want to do them, all right? I see Paul's example. I asked the Lord to show me what to do. He showed me what to do, and I'm doing it. You don't want to go around teaching people Paul's example? Don't go teach them then. It's up to you. And when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to say, why didn't you teach these people about Paul's example? And what are you going to say? Think about it. Okay? You know, I've seen a lot of young men growing up in the ministry. All right? And, you know, the older guys that are teaching and preaching and stuff, yeah, we're all going to die off. And there's going to be people underneath us that we raise up. All right? Now watch. I want you to go to, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So what we have here is the teachings are passed down from the Apostle Paul. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy taught other people. Those people taught other people. And it's been handed down over the generations, okay? Now, let's say you're a preacher and you know about Paul's example, all right? And you got some young men you're raising up in your congregation, all right? What are you going to tell them? Are you going to tell them, oh, you need to quit your job. You need to quit your job and just preach. Let the people support you. Or are you going to tell them, well, look, Paul does have an example here you need to follow, all right? What are you going to do, people? Think about it, okay? Now, if you're out there and you're going to another church, congregation, or whatever, is your preacher drawing a paycheck, all right? Show him Paul's example. See what happens, okay? I showed my preacher Paul's example. Guess what? He didn't like me after that. Of course, I don't know if he liked me before, all right? But anyway, the thing is, Paul's example is here, people, all right? And is to be followed. That's why it's there. Why follow it? Why should the Lord give it if you're not going to follow it? Now, if you're out there today and this is the first DVD you've been watching, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, I know you hear a lot of things from a lot of people, all right? Probably watch TV and all this kind of stuff and hear preachers say this, preachers say that. But salvation is a free gift, people, and salvation is very easy. All right, now watch. I want to take you to Romans and we're going to close here. In Romans, I want you to notice, in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can you remember a time in your life when you realized you needed a Savior, and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you called upon Jesus Christ and asked Him to save you? If you can't remember that time, people, you're not saved. All right? I'm not saying, can you remember the date? You know, do you know what date? But do you remember the event? Do you remember when you were lost and you needed a Savior and you asked Jesus Christ to save you? Put your trust in Jesus Christ today, people. Ask Jesus Christ to save you. Don't wait another day. All right? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.